I would like for you to take the word of God, please, and turn with me to the prophecy of Isaiah. You have your Bible open to Isaiah chapter 43. We'll begin with just one verse in Isaiah chapter 43. I deal with a subject that is among, at least, the most important subjects that we ever encounter. It is the subject what every child needs to know about God. What every child needs to know about God. And honestly, you could pick up your Bible and start anywhere in the Word of God and deal with such a subject. But I'm dealing with this chapter for an obvious reason I shall show you in just a moment. But the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 11, I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. Let's look at it again. I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. There's 28 verses in this chapter of the Bible, and 36 times God speaks of himself. It's the most unusual thing. He speaks of himself and declares what he wants people to know. This actually is a chapter about the messianic work of Christ, the fact that he is the only Messiah and Savior of Israel. But it's a chapter all about God. If you turn with me over to the 45th chapter, in the chapter 45 of Isaiah, the Bible records in this chapter 31 times God speaks of himself. I'm encouraging you to find these places where the Lord speaks of himself. Mark them in your Bible and let God speak to you. I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. That's from the 45th chapter of Isaiah and verse 5. Let me ask you a question. When you're talking to children about God, what do you say? When you hold the Bible in your hand, the Bible is a book of 66 books, of course, the Old and New Testament, 1,189 chapters in the Word of God. And it's a Bible that speaks all about its author. It's a book about God. But certain places in the Bible, God uses the personal pronoun I and declares things about himself. And I would imagine that as you're reading the Bible and letting God speak to your heart, when the Lord stops in a way and brings our attention to what he says about himself, it ought to bring issues of most importance to our hearts and minds. The millions of children born every year, most of those children live and die without ever hearing the truth in God's word about God. But what should every child hear? What does every child need to know about God? I want you to mark some of the things here just as a matter of introduction when the Lord begins to talk about himself. In verse 1 of chapter 43, I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. In verse 2, I will be with thee. In verse 3, I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. In the same verse, he says, I gave Egypt for thy ransom. In verse 4, I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee. The Word of God says in verse 5, I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east. Verse 6, I will say to the north, give up. Verse 7, I have created him for my glory. I have formed him. Yea, I have made him. Look, please, in verse 10, I have chosen. Same verse. I am he. Verse 11. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. Verse 12. I have declared and have saved. I have showed. Notice the end of the verse 12. I am God. Verse 13. I am he. Same verse 13. Near the close. I will work. And who shall let it be? Verse 14. I have sent to Babylon. Verse 15. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. In verse 19, the Bible says, behold, I will do a new thing. Same verse, I will even make a way in the wilderness. In verse 20, I give waters in the wilderness. Verse 21, I formed for myself. Think about it. Verse 23, I have not caused thee to serve with an offering. Verse 25, I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake and will not remember thy sins. May God help us. What does the Lord want us to know about himself? When you read the Bible and God speaks to you from his word, what does he say about himself? What things does he record in his word to call attention to himself? This gives us a good idea of what God wants every child to know about him. And everyone needs to know him. Do you know him? People have the idea that we can educate people to Christianity. The truth of the matter is, no matter what education you give, no matter how much education you give, you can't use education to bring somebody to Christ. There's a supernatural experience that we have with God. Jesus Christ said, you must be born again. A man came to him who was quite familiar with things about God, a ruler of the Jews. But the Lord Jesus declared unto him, marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. So when we start talking to children, in particular when we start talking to your children, when you start talking to your children about God, what do you want them to know? What do you want to tell them? I want you to hold your place here just a moment and turn with me to the New Testament, to the book of 2 Peter, and what the Lord says in 2 Peter. The Word of God says, when we speak of the Lord's return, the Bible says in verse 9 of chapter 3, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now the Bible says God is not willing that any should perish. This is God's attitude about salvation. I've said often and many times in places, I am a whosoever man. I believe what the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So I never give the gospel to the wrong person. I never speak to the wrong person about knowing Jesus Christ. Either that person knows the Lord or will be happy to hear what the Lord has to say about how one can come to know him. God has gone to great lengths to speak to people about himself. Turn with me, please, to the gospel according to John. And we look in the 16th chapter, beginning with the 7th verse. The Bible says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. It's in your best interest that I go away. He's announcing to his disciples his death. And he says, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. So the Holy Spirit is in the world dealing with these three things with every human being. Think about that. God uses every circumstance to speak to our hearts about these truthful things of sin. Sin, that's our issue. And the only remedy for sin is the blood of Jesus Christ. He came from heaven and became a man without ceasing to be God to pay our sin debt. And when he paid our sin debt, he died on the cross. The billows of God, the wrath, fell upon the Son of God as he became sin for us. He who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And then he says, I deal with everyone through the work of the Holy Spirit, not only of sin, but righteousness. You want to do right, be right. There's only one way. We have to be clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. The imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ is the only way I'm going to get to heaven and you're going to get to heaven. And children must know this. We say to people who have little boys and girls who are well-behaved, that's a good little boy. And that's a good little girl. But the truth of the matter is, the Bible says there's none good, none righteous, because all our righteousness are as filthy rags. So there has to be some time when we talk to children about how they can have the righteousness of God clothed on them. When I lay down this robe of flesh and soar beyond the stars and be with God, I'm going to go to heaven. I'm not going to go to heaven because of what I've done. I have no merit. I don't earn any merit. I don't build up any merit with the Lord. The only way I'm going to get to heaven is because I'm clothed in his righteousness. And on his record, I'm going in. And we must tell this to children. The Word of God says not only sin and righteousness, but judgment. And that's not judgment to come. There are judgments to come. But this is the judgment that Christ suffered for our sins on the cross. All your sin debt has been paid. Everything you may fear has been taken care of. The Lord Jesus went to the cross, did battle with the devil, and he paid all our debt in full. Like the songwriter said, not in part, but the whole. My sin was nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. So it's been judged when Jesus was judged on the cross or our sin. That's what the Holy Spirit is at work in the world doing. And sometimes people hear everything about God but these essential things. Everything but these essential things. Would you go back with me to the 43rd chapter of Isaiah? On your own, I hope that you'll take the time to mark the things God says about himself. But let me just point out one or two of those things. The Bible says, I have loved thee, in verse 4 of Isaiah 43. I have loved thee. We are taught in the Bible that we are loved with an everlasting love. Every child needs to be loved. Every child is loved. But it's the love of God they need to know about. The Bible says in verse 7, I have created him. I've created him. And the devil wants to attack the idea, the truth proclaimed about God's creation, and God declares here he's our creator. And then look, please, again in verse 11, I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there's no Savior. There's no way to look for a Savior or to find a Savior anywhere other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Think about that. And nearing the conclusion of the chapter, the Lord says in verse 25, I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake and will not remember thy sins. That's what God wants us to know about him. That's what he said in the Bible that he wants us to know about him. And many other things that you can discover for yourself. So when it comes to telling a child about the Lord, and we make a list of things that every child needs to know about God, what would you put on the list? What would you find? Surely you'd find what the Bible reveals. So let's start where God starts, in the very beginning. Would you turn with me, please, to the book of Genesis and look at the declaration that God makes. We're talking about what children need to know about God. We begin with God as the Creator. The Lord doesn't spend some lengthy argument about why He is real and why He exists. He declares that He is, and He declares that He created. In the beginning, the very first verse in the first chapter of the Bible, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And we speak to children about God and who He is. He's the Creator God. He made heaven and earth. That's a declaration that God gives about Himself. Often people wonder about things and they want to complicate it. Keep it simple. Keep it like God keeps it in His Word. So write it down. Number one, we're going to begin talking about God. When I came to know the Lord Jesus as my Savior, I had never heard the gospel. I was nearly 14 years old. I knew about church, I knew about the Bible, I knew about God, but I never heard that He was my Creator God and I had sinned and I needed His forgiveness. And some kind person took the Word of God and explained to me that God created me and that He loved me and that He wanted me to be His child. And they explained to me that I was a sinner separated from God because of my sin. And when I heard the truth of my sin and what Jesus Christ came to do when He died on the cross for my sin debt, I asked God to forgive my sin and to come into my life and be my Savior. They didn't go on some lengthy argument, some apologetic argument that people want to get into today to prove God's existence. They just declared to me the truth. And I heard the truth, and I believed it. And I want to encourage you to speak to people the truth. And when you start, begin where God begins, that He's the Creator God. Amen. I want you to write a second thing down. We need to let children know that the battle for their soul is never over. Never over. Turn with me to the book of Romans just for a moment, would you please? In Romans chapter 1, God declares to us in verse 18 of Romans chapter 1. Look at it, please. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness. Think about that. All ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. That means to try to hold back the truth. The enemy that Satan is always fighting is the truth. Let's read on. The Bible says in Romans chapter 1 and verse 19, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they're without excuse. Now, what does this mean? It means that Satan doesn't give up. The battle is always raging. What God wants and what the devil wants, there's a real devil. And what God wants, He wants you to know Him. He goes so far as to say, the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Think of that. I gave you that verse a moment ago. The Lord is not willing that any should perish, So God is working. The Lord Jesus said to his disciples, as I read you a moment ago, it's expedient for you that I go away. In your best interest, I go away. Because when I go away, the Holy Spirit is going to work in the world. Working how? Working to reprove or convince or convict of sin, righteousness, and judgment. God has done all he can do, all he needs to do, by sending his only begotten Son to pay our sin debt. But the battle is not over. Satan fights that. You think when I am a young mother or a young father, I have the birth of a child, this is a grand and glorious thing, and it is. But it just starts a lifelong struggle, a battle. It's always present. You think when they're young, they go through little struggles and you wonder what's going on. It's because Satan wants them. He wants their will to be yielded to him. When they get a little older, they get involved in bigger things and the struggle is continuing. And in the teen years, perhaps, you see some things that alarm you, discourage you. What's happening? There's a spiritual warfare for their soul. They're eternal beings. They're going to live as long as God lives. Once they get birth, they live as long as God lives. And their eternal soul is something Satan is struggling for. And he tells us here. But notice carefully what God says. He gives us aid. We have a knowledge that God is real, that God exists. We have a knowledge in us and a knowledge in nature. Let me read the verse again in Romans chapter 1. When you're speaking to children about what they need to know about God, let them know what God has done, how God has created them. The Bible says in verse 20 of Romans 1, "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead," so that without excuse. We look around at creation, and God lets creation speak and declare to us. There's enough knowledge of God in creation, not to save us, but to make us aware of God and aware that we need God. When you get to chapter 2 of Romans, the Bible says that we are witnessing another testimony. The Word of God says in verse 14, "For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these, having not the law, are law unto themselves, which show the work of God, the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts, the mean while accusing or else excusing one another." God says, "I gave you a gift. I gave you a gift of creation." That's why the devil fights creation. Did you know when Scopes wrote his book on the species denying creation, by 3 o'clock the day it was published, every copy was sold. And the first thing that people bombard children with is denial of the Creator God. You might think, why would somebody want to pick on a three-year-old in a three-year-old kindergarten class? Because it is the thing God uses to make them aware of God. God says, "I speak to you in creation, and I speak to you in conscience." And the battle is always on. It's always on. When I was a seminary student, and when I was especially a student in the university, there was always a discussion in the science classes I had to take about the creative power of God. Finally, one day I said to the anthropologist who was teaching our anthropology class, I said to him, Dr. Bass, I'm a Christian, and I believe that God spoke the world into existence. And you say, you're a Christian. Do you believe the same thing? And he said, well, I'm a Christian. But he wouldn't testify to that. And he seemed delighted in saying anything he could in a lecture, stripping away the faith of young people. And I thought to myself, why is such an attack on this one thing? Because it is the one thing God Almighty put around all of us. So when we see it, it testifies that he is real. Amen. And then he put within us a conscience. Not enough of the knowledge of God to save us, but enough of the knowledge of God to condemn us, and the conscience within us that he is real, that he exists. And I don't want you to get discouraged. I don't want you to get downhearted with the battles that you're fighting with your children, because the devil is in all those battles. And you can win because God has given you aid. He's given you aid by conscience and creation. But the battle will always go on, affirming or excusing the reality of God. Let me show you one other thing. I want you to write it down, please. In the book of 1 Peter, the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, notice, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as a flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord, the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you. I said, when we talk to kids about God, when we talk to children about God, when we begin our conversations about God, we begin where God begins, with creation. We battle where we always battle. You're not going to have the first child that came out of a mother's womb and everything's all right. There are no struggles. It's not going to happen. The battle will go on all of life because that's the devil's business. But I want you to write this third thing down. Biblical Christianity will endure forever. It will endure forever. Amen. Ages before I ever discovered America as a child, before I ever became aware that the struggles were on, before I ever stepped in to the struggle that exists with a battle between good and evil, Satan and God, there were people solidly standing for the Lord and for his word who were practicing biblical Christianity, who believed it, who lived it, who died with it in their hearts. People I will see in heaven. And that's what the word of God says. The word of the Lord endureth forever. Amen. And this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you. I read about birds off the coast of Manhattan in the night hours flying, of all things, into the torch of the Statue of Liberty. So much so that there were so many birds, and are so many birds, who lose their lives flying into that light, that they have to employ somebody and pay their salary just to clean up the dead body of birds who keep flying into that torch, flying into the light and losing their lives. Well, I want you to know for all time, There have been people who believe God, who stood for the truth, who've told children what they need to know about God. And for all time, there's been people flying into that light, fighting that light, losing their lives, living and dying without that light. But it still stands. It still stands because the word of our Lord endureth forever. I want you to know you're on the safest, most solid ground as a parent when you're teaching your children from the Bible about God. Keep it going. Keep it going till your children are telling their children who are telling their children the truth of God's word about God Almighty. Let's bow in prayer together.